Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ron, who saw that coming, huh? Not me, I'll tell you that much.
What are you talking about? Who saw what coming?
Well, yeah, actually, Pomp saw it coming, didn't he?
Who saw what coming? The Penguins winning last night?
Yes.
In very nice fashion, I might add.
Very nice fashion.
You know, we got to start, though, with that game. How about Sid's backhand goal? He blows by the defenseman. And is that the best backhand shot in history? I mean, does he have it, right?
I think he does, yes.
No,
I think he does.
No one can score backhand shots like he does. And what a way to set the tone for the game, right? The first goal.
You might even say...
incrinculant.
You might. You just did. Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous what he did.
How many guys can make that play?
Very few in history, I think. Don Luce had a great backhander for the old Buffalo Sabres, Ron. You remember him from all those years ago?
I do not. The thing about Sid is, it's not like a one-time thing, okay?
Right.
Maybe if he scores one or two, okay, got lucky. He does it all the time, the backhanded goals.
That one from that far out, that one was
How about the way he blew by the defenseman?
Yeah. Poor little Samuel Girard, if they didn't already have somebody on a statue, he might make it, right? He was skating the other way. Sean Gentile sent out a great photo, tough night for Samuel Girard, and it shows Sid skating to his right, about to make the play, and this dude is skating toward the boards.
The opposite
not
way.
Even looking. It's so horrible for him.
He rocked his world.
And then who would have bet, other than Pompeiani, who yesterday predicted it?
Yes, he did. And he doesn't even like to make predictions.
Jeff Carter scored not once, but twice. I mean, who saw that coming?
Nobody on planet Earth, not even Bob. He predicted once, not twice. And then Jari kept going for goals at the end. They wanted Karts to get the hat trick. I don't mind a goalie going for goals,
not
though,
when you're
up
5-2. No.
Well, he was doing it at 4-2.
That's a little, I don't like that.
He did it twice at 4-2. I don't mind it. Do you?
4-2, that's still a competitive game. You're going to give them icing. I don't know. They have the goaltender pulled. I don't like it 4-2. 5-2, three-goal lead, I don't have a problem. I thought he played pretty well last night again.
He played great last night.
Inconsistency, great
last
and then horrible.
Well, that's the first time, even in the days that he played, everybody said he played well, that he was the better goalie and didn't allow the extra goal. That's what they need. They don't need it to be, oh, Jari played good last night. He wasn't the reason they lost. They need it to be Jari played great last night and was a big reason they won. There's a big difference. He was great, Ron. Great.
Well,
and the fact that he's trying to score goals indicates to me a little bit of cockiness and arrogance, and I mean that in a good way, to his game. At 4-2, he tried it twice at 4-2, and good for him, even if people wanted Karts to get the hat trick. Did you want Karts to get the hat trick?
I didn't care about Karts getting the hat trick. I just don't like icing the puck in a two-goal game, that's all.
Yeah, I hear you.
In a three-goal, four-goal, five-goal, absolutely go for it. I didn't care about Karts getting a hat trick.
They did, though. The players did.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. And
he's
taking so much abuse. Did you see what he said? I don't give a damn about what you guys think.
Yes, he does. They all do, Ron. But he had a great game.
He did.
Don't you think they all care what people say about them? Every human being cares what people say about them.
It's probably true, but he played a good game. I mean, and they need that. They need something like that.
How are you today, Ron?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you.
Ballsy?
One more day, and then I have a little vacation, Joe.
I know.
Today and tomorrow, and then I'm off next week.
I've got a vacation before your vacation over the weekend. Wait, are we going to the airport at the same time tomorrow?
Can I
have a ride?
My plans have changed. I'm not going Friday night. I'm going Saturday morning now.
I'll wait. Can we go together?
Sure. I'll pick you up.
No, I'll be on a T. at 9:38 a.m.
I'll be in the air and you'll be on a tee. That's right.
Yes, I will.
Wait, tomorrow or Saturday?
Saturday. Yeah. Tomorrow night I leave. My flight leaves at 6:50, arrives allegedly at, I don't know, 8:50 or
there
something.
There ain't no doubt about that allegedly stuff.
And I'm the guy now who's carrying my entire bag of golf clubs through the airport in a little or a large black carry-on case. It's unbelievable.
You're just staying for the weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three rounds of golf in less than 24 hours. I'll be home by 5 p.m. Sunday,
wow.
Folsy.
Look
how are you?
I'm pretty good.
You sure?
Yeah. Doctor or daughter had a doctor's appointment this morning.
All good?
Yeah, all's good. I was a little late because of that, but I planned ahead. I did the little read sheet that I gave you guys last night.
You look wonderful. I'll tell you that much.
Appreciate that.
Ron, before we move on, you mentioned the word increnculant, not me, first today on the show. Am
I right
about that?
No, that's not true. Don't say that. You come into the studio singing, I want to be increnculant, I want to be increnculant.
Listen to this,
you
though.
Started singing it before we even got on the air.
There's been a development, yet another one.
Who's using it now?
Stephen Fatla, F-A-T-L-A. Here's the note. I'll simply read the email verbatim. Hi, my name is Steve Fatla.
Very polite.
Very polite. And I'd like to do my little bit to get increnculant accepted into the English language.
Oh, what a man.
If Lewis Carroll can invent chortled and galumphing, why not Joe Starkey? You like that beginning, Ron? I am directing a stage show at Carlo University entitled Eleemosynary? I don't know what it is. It's about three generations of women in the same family. And some of the plot centers around the daughter of the family winning a spelling bee. So the play is a lot about words and books, love and loss, acceptance and forgiveness.
And increnculant's going to be mentioned.
The set itself will be covered in words with definitions of all different kinds. You following this, Ron?
I'm following it. I'm looking, too. I got an email from somebody that said they loved something about the show. It was increnculant.
Yeah. It's everywhere.
And they had SP. They might have spelled it wrong.
It's everywhere.
I can't find it. Go ahead.
So this is a guy who's directing a stage show at Carlo.
So the set has words
the
on
set,
it?
The set picture, it has words with definitions because a lot of the theme is about that.
Okay.
And he says, the plan is to include increnculant multiple times. It's not Broadway, but it's a public forum, and the word will be seen by slow degrees in small ways, and acceptance must surely follow. How about this? The show runs March 23rd to 25th and April 30th to the 1st. First of all, I need to make an appearance here,
right,
correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And as long as I'm in town, I will make an appearance here.
I can't. Those dates, that's when I'm gone.
Yeah, I know. Otherwise, you would have been there in a second.
I would have been there. Where is it at?
Carlo University.
Oh, my.
And that's, you know, that's a part of town I love.
What part of town is it? I don't even know where it is.
It's Shadyside, Oakland, East End part of town.
Okay.
I'm going to be there, Ron, one of those nights. I don't know when. If they can incorporate me. Can you imagine if I can get a small part?
Maybe.
In the play?
Absolutely.
Could they do that at
or
the
could
last
they
second?
Just come
you know,
up
I,
at the
I
end?
Could see them introducing you to the crowd.
Yeah, they
giving,
could.
Giving you a standing ovation.
I mean, this is unbelievable, Folsy.
We'd like to bring up Joe Starkey, creator of Increnculant.
Yes.
A standing O.
I think I'm going to do this, Ron.
Give a bow.
I'm just speechless on
this. It's an academic institution.
It's an institution of higher education, Folsy. They're putting on a play. And plastered on the wall will be the word increnculant. I mean, if it doesn't get any better than this, I think I've made it.
You've already made it.
That's because I'm here with you and
Folsy. No, that has nothing to do with it. The word has taken off.
Look at the grin on his face.
He can't get over it. That's why I was singing this morning,
yeah,
coming in.
Yeah, I had sort of lost
sort of a little difference in when we left yesterday when he was barely coherent.
Yeah, well, that might be by the end of the day, too. I'm eating an apple turnover the size of Mulsey's cranium. Look at this thing.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a big apple fritter
yeah.
or whatever it is.
It's going to lift
Still
me.
No coffee. Uh-oh. He violated his.
I'll tell you what happened.
Jumped off the wagon.
I'll tell you exactly what happened.
Here
this was the anatomy of a relapse. I was panicking today. I had to get ready for the show and do a column. I didn't really have a topic for the column, which is
that's
fine.
That's always frightful.
I never do that. But then it started to rain and thunder, and my dog, little Bailey, started to freak out. So he keeps jumping on me, barking. He doesn't usually do this. I'm like, what do you want? I'll do anything you want. What do you want? He runs in the basement, goes and hides, takes me with him, runs upstairs, takes me with him. So I couldn't get anything done, Ron. So my anxiety levels were high. Susie left a little bit of coffee in the pot. Hadn't drank any for over a month.
You were weak.
Yeah. I drank my feelings. I drank my anxiety
I've been known to do that without coffee, but go ahead.
That's what happened, Ron. But enough about me. Let's get to the Penguins. I was stunned at this. I don't know the state of the Avalanche. I don't care. They're a really good team.
They won six in a row.
Right. I mean, they're in.
I know McCarr didn't play last night.
Right. And they're not in a desperate position, but who cares? I'm not taking – I thought it was their best game of the year.
I think Joey called it their best game of the year.
Did he?
Yep.
That's what I think, and I thought it was one of Jari's best games of the year, if not his best. They had seven high-danger scoring opportunities in the first period. He turned aside every single one of them. His save percentage in this game, 93%. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for elite-level play from that guy. My expectations are higher.
He can do that, but can he do it consistently? I assume we're going to see DeSchmidty tonight in Dallas, and then they're home, what, Sunday against Washington?
Yeah.
Can Jari do it again at home against Washington? That's the problem. He's been so inconsistent. And his inconsistency parallels the team's inconsistency.
Yes, it does. He needs to be not
good. There's no doubt he has that
better
talent,
than good.
In my opinion.
Better than good.
He has that talent. Can he keep putting it together?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind going back to him tonight myself, but I think they probably will go with DeSchmidty tonight.
But they're back in the playoff picture now. They passed Florida. They played the same number of games.
They're in a very, very precarious position
still. No doubt.
But I would have taken two out of these 4 points, right?
Me too. And maybe even tonight, if you get a loser point, would be great.
Would be fabulous. Although this is one of those games where Dallas didn't play yesterday. So you have a team at home waiting for you. That's a tough ask.
Not to mention their first place team, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it have that feel of the playoffs already?
Yeah, well, it is.
And it's like we joke about this. Collier and I always talked about this. You win a game, cup. You lose a game, no cup.
Yeah.
And it kind of has that feel.
Yeah.
They won last night. They played great. Hey, maybe they're going to make the playoffs. Maybe they can do some damage. They get beat 6-1 tonight. Maybe not making the playoffs. No, have no chance of doing any damage.
Yeah, it's applying a football. Now it's real, though, but I think in this town we apply the football mentality to hockey even in, like, December. Like, every game is a referendum on whether the Penguins are still a viable contender. Now it's actually true.
Right.
Now it's every single game has football-like importance. And what do they got left, Ron?
11?
11 games.
And I think
to go. And schedule gets easier.
Nine or ten of those are against non-playoff teams. But you don't know what you're going
to
get.
Although
though.
They've lost at home to Montreal and Ottawa the last two home games.
That's right. That's exactly right. I would say if they play the way they did in those games, now I'm thinking of the Columbus game. If they play the way they also lost to Columbus. Oh no, they came back and won that game. That's the night they had 93 attempts. The other night they had 90.
They were down 4-0, right?
They never lose to Columbus. That's the one team that they always dominate.
I know, and it's weird the teams that they beat. They've now beaten Colorado twice and Tampa twice in the last month and a half. So I don't know. I don't know what to read into this, but they needed this game and they needed Jari to play great.
And how much credit do you give the captain for setting the tone and putting him on his back? I mean, I can't get over watching that play.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've watched that more or Ohtani striking out Trout the other night. You can't get enough of it. You just can't get enough of it. I looked at that slider again from Ohtani. I don't think there's a hitter on the planet that could have hit that pitch after being set up with all those 100-mile-an-hour fastballs.
Somebody had a great – I'm going to find this right now, except that my computer doesn't work, which means I'm going to break it in half. Like that lady, did you see the mom the other night of the kid from Penn State break her glasses in her hand?
Yes.
The wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could relate to that woman so much when she did that. That's me with electronics.
You crumbled.
I want to take this computer and just bash it with my driver. I really do. Ron, do you get to levels of violence like that with inanimate objects?
I don't usually like to break stuff because then I'd have to replace it and it costs me. I try to value my possessions.
That's actually a very good point. Where is this thing? Oh, here it is.
A lot,
here
though.
It is.
I cursed.
Yeah, I curse a lot driving. If you aren't impressed, you should be, says Codify Baseball, or Codify. I don't know what it is, Folsy.
Probably Codify. Yeah,
probably. Listen to this, Ron. They show that slider that you're referencing. Mike Trout has had 3 swinging strikes, and he swung and missed at 3 pitches in that at-bat.
Right.
He's had 3 swinging strikes in only 24 of his 6,174 career plate appearances.
Wow.
Think about that. Let's just think about that. I know stats can be misleading. Stats are this, they're that.
Yeah, run that by me one more time.
Mike Trout has made 6,174 plate appearances in his life.
Okay.
He has 3 swinging strikes in the same at-bat 24 times in all that time.
And Ohtani the other night was 25.
Yes.
Wow.
You know, I've heard people.
Brian Bixler did that in a week.
I've heard people raving about, is there a John Boy? Is that J-O-N-B-O-Y?
Yep.
As like a 4-minute video dissecting the at-bat.
Really?
And everybody I've heard say it's sensational.
That's John Boy thing. On Twitter?
What this guy does, right?
Yeah, that's his thing. He breaks down moments of baseball and has his own like commentary behind them, and it's pretty
everybody
funny.
Everybody I said, this is unbelievable review of that at-bat.
Yes.
John Boy, J-O-N-B-O-Y.
This guy's got the pitches, too, and it's ridiculous. The one that he missed on, he threw in two of the pitches he missed on are two of the best you'll ever see, because one of them was 102 miles an hour. The other one was off speed that barely missed the strike zone. I don't know how Trout didn't swing at it.
Joe, I'm convinced there's not a hitter on the planet that could have hit that 3-2 pitch.
Maybe ever.
I'm convinced of that.
And then there's Sid's goal.
And I'm pretty convinced not too many people can do that, too.
From where he did it. It was a rocket labeled for the corner. What are Sid's greatest goals of all time? What comes to mind for you, Ron? I think of the one in Edmonton with McDavid, obviously, on the other side.
In overtime, where he walked through at least two or three guys,
right? I think of the Buffalo goal, the Winter Classic.
That's the one that stands out for me.
There's another Buffalo goal, too, where he was a one-handed backhand.
Yes, it was.
A couple years ago.
Yes, it
was. There have been so many, I can't even keep track.
I'm looking at these right now. The one where he split the Tampa Bay defense in Game 6 in 16, I believe it was phenomenal. But this one's up there.
It is.
And sometimes, Ron, and I wrote about this a little bit this morning, people refer to Sid as the superstar, the only superstar grinder in hockey history, or the greatest grinder, the only superstar who doubles as a grinder, and they mean it as a compliment. I'm not sure Crosby takes it that way, and I'm not sure we don't look enough at how he's also clearly one of the greatest showmen, entertainers, and offensive forces. When people use that phrase,
grinder.
I know it's meant as a compliment, but it takes away from his history as one of the greatest showmen.
It doesn't give him credit for his spectacular talent.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, and he's up there with anybody in history with that, too.
Speaking of which, you mentioned McDavid. Do you see he hit 60?
60.
Left. And they still have like 10 games left. He could get close to 70.
Yes, he could.
Could you imagine that?
Yes, he could.
I mean, I love Sid, and I his consistency and everything else. Did he hit 30 last night, right?
Yes.
McDavid has 60.
I know.
Twice as many goals. Think about that. That blows me away. Doesn't it? I mean, seriously.
It does.
I mean, I know Matthews did it last year, too. But, I mean,
but let's never
I can't
forget,
even wrap my arms around 60.
Let's never forget this, Ron. At age 23, Crosby was on pace for 64 goals.
Right.
Exactly 64 when his career changed.
I'll bet McDavid gets 65.
I think Crosby at that point was capable of everything that McDavid is capable of, point-wise and goal-wise.
And
it just
hurt.
It didn't happen.
And then he got hurt.
Halfway.
You see his goal last night, by the way, banked it in off the back of the goaltender. That was very much Lemieux-like, wasn't it?
Yes, and I'm going to tell you what happened to me, Ron. Something
How's
happened
your car?
To me.
Did you get it back yet?
No, I'm still driving the gray minivan that smells like
weed.
And
they told
weed.
Him it was just a quick fix. Go ahead.
Gray minivans that smell like weed. There's something to be said for those.
Yeah,
I will say that.
There's probably many of them around.
What happened to you?
I was searching for, because Sid last night became the first guy in hockey history to score 30 goals as an 18-year-old and a 35-year-old, which is pretty darn remarkable. So that got me to looking up who else at age 35 among hockey greats, among the Mount Rushmore and beyond that, how many guys have had this kind of goal-scoring season, 35 and beyond? And there was something that I found that stopped me dead in my tracks, and I had to shake my head, and I wound up writing more about that than about Sid. I'll tell you exactly what happened, Ron, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. And, of course, I would love to hear Folsy chime in. Folsy, when were you born again?
1993.
So you would have been
September 4th.
Conscious for the event that I'm going to describe here. Mm.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Peel back.
I want to hear
layers.
About this column. What happened?
Well, first I was singing in the hallway, Ron.
In Crinculant?
Well, the song, yeah.
Of course.
And we discovered that I have an operatic voice with a lilt or vibrato. Didn't we discover that by the coffee machine?
I think we did, yeah.
Who analyzed your voice?
Myself, Jules out there. We're going to start a group called Jules and Joe. Listen to the little shake, Ron. That's called an operatic. Is it a vibrato, Folsy?
I have no idea.
I'm looking to be. That, right there. Like the guy in The Wizard of Oz.
I hear you.
The lion?
I hear the lion
in the wizard?
The lion,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I could see it.
And a lot of people were impressed, Ron. And it's going to be Jules and Joe, and we're going to tour together. Did you hear it in the hallway? Were you walking?
I did not.
And also Kale Berger was there and seemed to be impressed. Yes, Folsy?
Except you're going to play the high notes, right? And she's going to do the lows?
Yeah, amazingly enough.
How about that?
You'd think it was the other way around.
Yeah.
Ron, I was on my way to a Sidney Crosby column. Seemed obvious, right?
Right.
Players voting him still the best all-around player.
Fourth
yesterday.
Year in a row.
And he follows that up with a vintage performance, including an all-time backhanded goal. So I'm there innocently looking up the best age 35 seasons of some of the hockey greats. Turns out Gretzky, he was done with 30-goal seasons by 35. Jágr never had another 30-goal season starting at age 35.
Really?
Yeah, maybe Malkin won't have a 30-goal season. He might if it gets real hot this year, but he might be in that batch. Then I came across a man named Mario Lemieux.
I've heard of him.
His age 35 season was his comeback season after 44 months of retirement, debilitating back pain for much of his late career, a bout with Hodgkin's lymphoma late in his career, and in an era where the size of the goal might as well have been a mousetrap. It was the dead puck era. He came back right in the middle of it. This guy put up 35 goals and 76 points in 43 games.
I was going to say, he didn't come back until like December, right?
43 games.
In 43 games. So I'm staring at that saying, I know that, I knew that, but hold on for a second here. And then I come across a site called statsmuse.com. And since 95-96, which is how many years? Ron, can you do backwards math?
What year?
95-96.
Well, 28 years ago.
Here are the greatest points per game season in the NHL in those 28 years, as Ron says. And this is not adjusted for era either. Like now they're scoring more, way more than they did when Mara came back. Here's simply the best point per game. You ready, Ron?
Yep.
Lemieux, number one, 95-96, 2.3 points a game. Connor McDavid this year, 1.92, which when you think about it, not even close to Mario in 95-96. How great was he in his, not even in his prime? So Lemieux won in 95-96, McDavid 2 this year, McDavid 3 in 2021, Jágr 4th in 95-96, and Mario in 2000/01. The fifth best points per game in the league in the last 28 years. Did I mention he was out of the game for 44 months, was 35 years old, played in the dead puck era, debilitating back pain forced him out? Ron, it had me asking, was this the greatest feat in hockey history? And guess who I asked?
Wayne Gretzky?
One of your friends.
Who's
and
that?
One of mine.
Who's that?
Doc Emrick.
Well, do you get a hold of Doc?
I did.
What did Doc say?
It was in the form of a text because I was short on time and drinking coffee. And Kevin Allen. I figured, who are two people that I can get a hold of very quickly?
How is Doc?
Who would be up in the morning and who would answer? I don't know. He seemed to be well. Here's what he said. I phrased it like this. I said to both of them, and I mentioned everything I just mentioned. I said, if I were to call this the greatest feat in hockey history, you would say what? That Mario did that. You ready for the answers?
Yeah. I'd love to hear them.
Doc said, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, he said one of the greatest. He mentioned Gordie Howe, who had 44 goals and 103 points at age 40. And he also said this. He said, Gordie played 25 years in Detroit, retired, was isolated by the Red Wings with a meaningless job, and after sitting idle for 2 years, returned at 45 for 7 years, including 430-goal seasons. Now, the only catch there is in the WHA.
Right.
But still.
Gordie Howe, that's why people think he's on Mount Rushmore.
And then Jacques Plante was the other guy he mentioned. Doc said he retired at age 39 for 3 years, came back with St. Louis, and won the Vezina. No, he retired, came back at 39, and won the Vezina. So he said, so Mario's performance is one of the greatest hockey feats. And of course, I love 66 like everyone does.
Yeah.
What do you make of that season, Ron? What do you remember about that year?
I don't remember a lot after the comeback.
That's the key, I think.
I remember more of him coming back from cancer, going to Philadelphia and getting a standing ovation and then winning the scoring title.
That's what Kevin Allen mentioned.
Despite missing all those games.
Yes, Kevin
that,
Allen
to me,
said.
I don't remember the comeback season, you know, and we obviously our friend Jay trained him, right?
Yes, he did. Ron, you just hit on the key. I honestly mean this, Folsy. Is people remember the comeback itself And, of course, the game against the Leafs where it looked like it was an apparition skating on the ice. What they forget, what I forget, is the season he went on to have. He should have been the MVP. They gave it to Pronger. This dude had 76 points in 43 games. Kevin Allen said that he mentioned what you did, Ron. He said, that was amazing, but I've always felt Lemieux's greatest feat was the radiation therapy in the morning, coming back to score his 40th goal that night and erases a 12-point lead.
And go on to win the scoring title.
And by the way, this is the 30-year anniversary of that. What do you remember about that? Were you at the game in Philly?
I was not. I think they had trouble getting him there, right?
I think so, yes.
I remember Cindy Himes, the former PR person, I think went with him, and they had all kind of problems getting to Philly. And what I always remember is the standing ovation he got from those
yes.
animals there. Pardon my expression, but I look at Philly fans that way. They gave him a standing ovation.
Yes, they did.
They truly recognized his greatness and what he went through to come back.
And Kevin says, I remember he had 30 goals and 50-some points over the last 20 games. Had he delivered that pace over an entire season, it would have been 229 points. And he finishes by saying, Mario had so many amazing feats, but kicking cancer's rear end and then performing at such an incredible level was my favorite. I guess the moral of the whole story, Ron, this column.
Is Mario was one of a kind. That's
well,
the
that we're,
moral of my story.
Sure. But Sid is too. So I wrapped it up with Sid that the fact that we've been able to witness these two, I started the story with Yager and Malkin. I said, I'm not even going to mention these guys here, but a lot of franchises will be proud to call those two their greatest in franchise history.
Sure.
We've got two that are on another planet.
And a lot of people will tell you among the five greatest players of all time. Mario definitely is. Sid is a debate with Gordie Howe, I think.
Well, among the five greatest, I would say, right? Maybe
yeah,
four,
right.
They put Howe on that so-called Mount Rushmore.
Absolutely. I mean, the three are Lemieux, Gretzky, and Orr.
Yeah.
Those, to me,
with Sid knocking on the door.
With Sid knocking on the door. And Gordie Howe. A lot of the old-timers will tell you Gordie Howe, and you just talked about Doc's memories. Sid's definitely, to me, in the top five. Now, is he going to last there? There's a guy in Edmonton that's knocking on that door, too.
But there's also...
And he's still 26 years old, and he needs to win.
There's also a guy in Pittsburgh who has 84 points and 30 goals at age 35.
I understand.
He may keep going. I would put Sid above Gordie Howe.
I do, too.
But I don't
and
know,
I get
for
ripped,
hockey
I get
history.
Ripped by the old-timers.
I didn't know that Gordie Howe, as I was looking at him today, did you realize he did not have a 100-point season until he was 40?
I did not.
40 years old, Fulzy.
Really?
Yes. And he never had a 50-goal season.
You see the picture of him like in the locker room shirtless? He looks like a bodybuilder.
Yes.
He looks like he would kick your ass. And
yes.
I guess he did on occasion.
A lot of people's, yes. I'm blown away by this whole thing, Ron. I'm blown away by the whole
thing.
We have
two of the greatest five of all time.
Yes, and perhaps...
Who gets that?
Perhaps four of the greatest 25, 30, 40, when you include Yager's in the top 15, I would say.
I would
easily.
Yep, yep.
And I would put Malkin in the top 30. But anyway, it gets back to the theme of when was it we talked about this? A week ago, 2 weeks ago. Can we still, in the midst of all these Penguin struggles...
Enjoy the moments.
Yes, and consider not only that, consider ourselves lucky to have them.
Incrinculant.
I mean,
sorry.
A lot of people would
it's
like...
It's only incrinculant.
Yes.
That's the only word I can use. Incrinculant.
When
I
all
mean,
other words fail, incrinculant is always there.
Is it that horrible? Listen, I'm first in line to rip them, Ron. But is it that horrible to have a team that's in the playoffs with a still... amazing superstar and two really, but to have Sidney Crosby still doing stuff like he did last night and to have a team in the playoffs, is it really that horrible? I'm just
the
asking.
Big picture, no.
No, it's actually the opposite
and
of that, I would say.
And I think we also get Letang.
Yes.
How many minutes did he play last night? You see what he played tonight, the game before? 29.
Yeah.
29. He played almost half the game. I didn't see the final sheet last night. How many minutes did he play last night? Because the defensive core is beat to heck.
Including Filer Tatoon, or Tyler, what's his name? Filer, Tyler Fadoon, right? Is that his name?
Taylor Fadoon.
Taylor, yeah, him.
Ron, I don't know. What Letang does is remarkable to me, too.
It is. So I say that, and I can hear people, you know, especially this day and age, giving the Penguins the benefit of the doubt, kissing their asses, whatever. I don't know, man. I'm just throwing out the question. Is it really that horrible? Are you suffering as a Penguins fan because your team is in playoff position with a still great, amazing player in Crosby? Let's just focus on him. With Crosby? I don't know. I think sometimes we need some perspective. And I'll be as critical as anybody else, but sometimes I think we need some perspective. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have been so lucky in this town. If you love hockey, they can't get lucky like this again. The next ping pong ball can't possibly go their way. There can't be another Mario out there ending up here. You know, it's going to end for Sid at some point, and you talk about maybe a precipitous drop-off. That's going to be a little bit scary for
Or
me.
Can they, Ron? Does Craig Patrick have another four-leaf clover that he literally had in Manhattan
maybe.
That day? Think about this. The circumstances under which the four greatest players came here. Complete tank job.
For
maybe
Mario.
The greatest one in history for Mario.
Right.
Jágr, they have to go over to the Czech Republic and pull him out practically. Other teams at the top of the draft didn't want him.
They didn't think he was coming over
right.
here.
It's a miraculous story.
I don't think it wasn't that they didn't want him. I think they recognized.
Well, no, didn't want him under those circumstances.
Yeah, they recognized his greatness, but they didn't think they would be able to get him here.
Exactly. Penguins did. 6.25% chance they win the lottery for Sid. They win it. And then all Malkin did was hide out in Finland after he escaped from Russia, and they went out and got him and brought him back to Pittsburgh. I mean, come on. So do they have a fifth one, Ron? A fifth story like that?
I don't know. I can't imagine.
Lose their last 11 games and get Connor Bedard?
He's supposed to be the next it, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be the next it.
I will say, as far as perspective's sake, now this is minus a great player who is still playing great, but this is the argument that people have outside of Pittsburgh for the Steelers. Look at your perspective here. You're always in it. Never a losing season under Tomlin. You always have a chance at the playoffs. Be happy with that. That's what we hear, and we fight against that notion
the
time.
But there's a difference. The Penguins have made the playoffs every year. The Steelers have missed 3 of 5. The Penguins won cups in 16-17. The Steelers haven't won at all or even gotten to the final since 2010. I think there's big differences there.
As far as postseason appearances and success.
Yeah, which is what it's all about.
But I think
the mentality is the same, though.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Do you, Ron?
I do.
I think people think that.
I do.
Like somebody in Detroit's like, hey, be happy.
Yeah, your team's in the playoffs and fighting for a spot. Maybe this year the kneecaps are going to turn the corner.
I think there are a lot of hockey people who would look at this and say, man, I'd like to have my team in the playoffs with Sidney Crosby and Malkin. That would be pretty good. Little perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe
hurts.
I'm full of crap.
Never though. Hurts to have.
Well, I think it can be both. I think you put a little perspective to it, and I also think you're full of crap. I mean, I think it can be both ways.
Oh, well, what did this victory symbolize for you guys?
Biggest win of the year.
I'm gonna ask you if it has anybody, and also people out there, is it a change your mind type of game or no? 412-928-9370.
Joe, I said it earlier. Win, cup. Lose tonight, no cup.
Maybe there's some truth, though, to you turn in a performance like that. At least we can see what you're capable of, not necessarily the cup.
We know this team is capable of this if they get that kind of goaltending. And we know Jari is capable. He has elite talent.
So did this
Can
game...
he do it consistently? No, I'm not sold on
Well, no,
him.
Let's get to it next.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about if you're sold. Does a game like this help sell you? And Tyler Kennedy had something very interesting to say on this station yesterday about this. It's Cook and Joe. I'm curious amongst us and amongst the people out there, if you look at a game like last night, and you start to buy into the Penguins a little bit. Do you look at it as an aberration? Or do you look at it and think what Tyler Kennedy said, and this was before the game yesterday with the PM guys. He said, I think the Penguins are going to make the playoffs and pull a first-round upset, including possibly the Bruins, Ron.
I think he said that here once, too.
Did he?
Threw it in at like the end of an interview on the show.
What do we read into last night's game?
I am not there at all. No.
Okay.
I am not there at all. They've shown these flashes. They have these great streaks, horrible streaks, great streaks, horrible streaks. I got to see more from Jari before I'm convinced. I've seen him play really well. Now, that was his best game in a long time last night. Can he do it again? And I don't have a good feel about them playing either Carolina or Boston or New Jersey if they do get in. Last night was a big step to getting in, though, because, you know, the schedule theoretically eases up after tonight. Detroit's going to be really hard. If they win tonight, my goodness, that'd be 4 points that I didn't see coming.
Yeah.
I'd be happy if they get one, and I'm pleased that they even got two already. I'm not expecting them to win tonight, back-to-back games, but I'm not sold that they're going to. I'm not sold that they're going to make the playoffs, although I feel better about that than I do about them winning a series.
To me, it was a significant win because they completely outplayed a really good and hot team.
The defending champions.
44-30, they outshot them. But it wasn't like that all game. In the first period, like I said, Jari kind of stole the game in the first period. But do I think it's indicative of how good the Penguins can be? Yeah, I just don't know that they can put it together for a full series. You know what I mean?
You know, if Jari's hot and plays like that, they can.
They play the Bruins. Would I be surprised if they played great in two games and won a couple games? Not in the least. I mean, it's still a team with lots of talent, including the goalie when he's right. But to put it together for four and win a series, that game last night doesn't make me believe that. Let's see what they do down the stretch. And let's see what, you're right, Jari does down the stretch here. But it's heartening, I'll say that. You know they have a game like that in them. You know you have that kind
of
performance in them.
They do definitely have that in them.
And that's heartening.
But
it is.
Can they do it over a seven-game series?
And I don't know if I didn't know or I doubted that they still had that in them for one game. For one game, they can do that. But, like you guys are saying, I want to see them do it for a week and a half, maybe a string of four or five games against really good teams like... You know, that I don't think we have seen much of this year.
I mean, you're right. Is it conceivable that these Penguins could get hot down the stretch and play really well and beat a team like Carolina?
Sure.
Of course they could.
Sure they
it's
could.
Hockey.
We've seen that happen before. Teams get hot.
Yeah, including them on a couple of occasions. And if they do get hot and play like this down the stretch, I'm not sure I'd be thrilled to be playing them with Sid at the height of his powers and a red-hot goalie, but a lot more has to happen.
They got to get in first.
Yeah.
Isn't that first
Namely
period
that.
What they've needed from Tristan Jari, though,
yes.
Like you just mentioned? Make a couple of saves when we're not playing as well on one side of the ice here. Make a few saves for us. And
outplay the other guy. That's what he did. He had some good performances recently. Rangers was one. One of those games at least, but he didn't outplay the other guy. He let in one goal too many. And last night he was the best goalie on the ice by a mile and he let in two and that was fine. That's what they need from him. You think they'll get it from him?
I'm not at all sure if he can do it consistently because he hasn't.
Not lately.
Yeah.
I mean, he has had stretches,
he's had
in
stretches,
his career.
Right. I truly believe he is an elite goaltender with an elite talent. I believe that. Now, I'm not, everybody I talked to Bork about this, Jay, nobody's sure if he's 80%, 90% healthy. But we've seen these stretches. Can he do it? His next game wouldn't surprise me if he gets pulled in the second
period.
Well,
the problem is, he has elite talent. I agree with that, but the problem is he's now played in 200 games and he has the same career save percentage as Casey DeSmith.
Right.
So we've seen for decent stretches him fulfill that, but then something always seems to happen.
He's way too much of a roller coaster.
He gets
something
hurt.
Always seems to happen. Yeah, or sick, or he's backing up Casey DeSmith. He's well enough to back up, but not to play. What was that about?
He missed practice the day before because Sully said he was sick. I guess he was okay last night. They weren't going to start him, but he was okay to be a backup.
That was weird for me, and that's when he started to play well. And when they started to play well, suddenly they're in Florida for what still could be a profound game that they lost 4-1, and he's good enough to back up but not to play?
Just, well, I think he was good enough to play yesterday. He just wasn't.
No, the game in Florida.
Oh, yeah, I know. But, I mean, I don't see anything strange about yesterday.
I didn't mention yesterday as strange.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I was talking about the Florida game and how it's always something.
It always seems something. The day he shows up at the rink and he couldn't go.
It's like that day that Ben was on the sidelines. Was that against the Browns? And then all of a sudden, like midway through the game, he came in. He wasn't good enough to start, but then when things didn't start going well, he was like, all right, I'm in.
Mel Kiper has spoken. We've had this topic a number of times. This is from The Trib. Joe Rutter wrote this. If Kenny Pickett was in this draft, where would he be taken? And I thought Kiper had a very, very interesting answer.
I would love to hear that.
Tell you what it is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.